And now, Don Blackwell.
And the door was shut. These words are found in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10, as spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in the parable of the 10 virgins. I want us to begin by reading that parable together today. The Bible says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" The Bible says, "And the door was shut." We began a study last week about this particular phrase, and the first point in our lesson was, I am not ready for the shutting of the door if I am lost. And we noticed that a man must have obeyed the gospel. He must have heard the gospel, believed it, repented of his sins, confessed his faith in Christ, and become a baptized believer if he is going to be ready when the door is shut. But secondly, we noticed, I am not ready for the shutting of the door if after I have become a baptized penitent believer, I have not remained faithful. And the best I know, there are only 3 areas of faithfulness, and some of these overlap. We understand that we are to be faithful in our attendance. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Add to that I am to be faithful in my work. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Well, what is that work? Our work as the church is the same as the work of the Lord. The church is the body of the Lord, Ephesians 1:22-23. And the church is an extension of the work that the Lord began when He was on the earth. What was that work? Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I am come to seek and to save the lost." So what is the mission of the church? It is identical, to seek and to save the lost. Now wait a minute. Friends, I'm not ready for the shutting of the door if I have not been faithful. Now let's be specific for a moment. Faithfulness includes attendance. But faithfulness includes work, which means that I've got to be a soul winner for Jesus. Thou must save another soul, if thou would save thine own, for heaven's doors are closed to those who come alone. Ladies and gentlemen, soul winning is not an optional activity for members of the Church of Christ. It is mandatory. I have no right to ask, can I be a soul winner? It is a matter of I must be. Now, the Lord did not mandate methodology. That is, He did not tell us how we have to go about being a soul winner. I may be a soul winner by teaching home Bible studies, by inviting people to the services, by being a distributor of tracts, and on we could go. The method is not bound, but the activity is. And so today I need to ask myself, as a member of the body of Christ, when was the last time the waters of the baptistry were stirred because of me? We're talking about heaven and hell. Soul winning is tied to your eternal destiny. And I'm not ready for the shutting of the door if I'm not faithful. Faithful in my attendance, faithful in my work, faithful in my living. Here's our major point number 2. When the door is shut, all of the ingenuity of man will never be able to open it again. Catholicism tries to pray men out of purgatory. Mormonism baptizes the living for the dead. Universalism says that everyone will be saved one day. And these are just a few of man's attempts to open the closed door. But when the door is shut, all of man's ingenuity will not be able to open it again. How and when will the door be closed? When we read our parable, the answer is obvious. The door will be closed when the Lord comes. In fact, that's the thrust of the parable. A young boy wondered about this parable. He said those who were shut out had no oil, but those who went in had oil. And he'd been taught all of his life that he should share, but here were people who went in and were blessed, but they did not share their oil. Well, of course, the point that the Lord is making in the parable is that when he comes, it will be too late for you to get any oil. It will be too late for you to make any preparation. And when the Lord comes, you cannot borrow that for which you are in need to meet your God. Someone says, well, that ought to be obvious. Friends, it's amazing how many people think that they can get to heaven on the good of others. But next, the door will be shut when I stop responding physically or mentally to the gospel of God. Friends, all over the world today, there are people who are comatose. That is, they are in a situation where they do not know whether they are dead or living. They are physically incapacitated. But they're being sustained perhaps on life support systems. They're living. They have not yet met eternity, but they have been rendered incapable of responding to God. The door will have already been shut if I ever find myself in that situation. Thirdly, the door will be shut if I die before I obey the Lord. Job said, "You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its seasons," Job 5:26, death will come. It is certain that death will come. And if it comes, and I have not obeyed the Lord, the door will be shut. Brother Wendell Winkler tells a story of when he was a young preacher. He says he was holding a meeting for a congregation, and one of the Christian ladies had her husband die during the meeting. The man was an unfaithful member of the church. He went to see the woman, and the first words out of her mouth were, "We were coming to the meeting Saturday night." Brother Winkler said he's thought many times about what a difference it would have made, maybe, if he had lived until Saturday night. But the door was shut on Thursday. And they buried the man's body in the ground, there to remain until the day of resurrection, where he will stand before the Lord as a delinquent church member. Here's our last thought. Dear friends, how many sermons have you heard on the cross of Christ? How many sermons have you heard about the cross upon which the penitent thief died? It may be countless. Many, many sermons are preached about the thief on the cross, specifically that thief who repented and who turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom," and to whom the Lord said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But have you ever heard a sermon about the other thief? This particular thief never did repent. This particular thief continued to revile the Lord to the very end. Have you ever heard a sermon on him? I want to study him carefully. This man knew that he was dying next to the Son of God. He had to know that. The evidence was overwhelming. And here's a man who is experiencing absolute agony. He has spikes in his hands. He has spikes through his feet. But did that man ever turn to the Lord and say, "Oh Jesus, pray for me, intercede for me"? Not once. The man never did that. And he knew that he was about to draw his last breath. Friends, how do you explain that? How do you explain a man hanging next to the Son of God, a man who is about to taste death and he knows it, but in spite of all of this, he died blaspheming God? Explain that. There's only one explanation that I can offer, and that is this. In life, a man can render himself incapable of turning to God. That is, a man can harden himself, harden his heart to the truth to the point that it cannot penetrate him. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible three times says that God gave them up, but they continued to live, talking about the ancient Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19 speaks about those who, being past feeling, had given themselves over to sin. What does it mean they were being past feeling? Friends, if I ever enter into that situation where my heart is hardened to the point that the gospel cannot penetrate me. I will be lost eternally. If that happens to me, the door will have been shut. Benjamin Franklin, one of the great Restoration preachers, said, "It is true that no man can obey God after death, but it is equally true that all men cannot obey God before death." Now, he was not teaching that the gospel is not available to all men. That's not what he was saying. What he was teaching is that some men in this life will harden their heart, and they will harden their conscience to the point that they cannot obey the gospel. A man can render himself incapable of coming to Christ till his conscience is so seared and his heart is so hard that the seed is incapable of penetrating it. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. And the door was shut. Friends, what will be your condition when the Lord comes again? When will the door be shut to you? Or will the door be shut to you? We've covered 3 points in this lesson and the lesson we began last week. The first one is, when the door is shut, I will not be ready if I am lost. The second point is, all the ingenuity of man cannot open the door. And the third point is, how and when that door will be shut. If you're lost today, friends, don't be that way when the door is shut for you. A man, in order to be saved, must hear the gospel. He must believe it. He must repent of his sins. He must be baptized in water. Hear it, believe it, repent, and confess his faith in Christ, and then be baptized in water for the remission of his sins. And then he must live faithfully until death or until the Lord comes again. And then he can have a home eternally in heaven.